feet there with bells. Massachusetts, homesick as can be. Massachusetts, only place for me. Massachusetts, got a special date with that.
Okay, I'd like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, October 25th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Okay. Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Clinton?
Here.
Member Schneider?
Here.
Member Shaler is absent. Member Sweeney?
Here.
Member Whalen?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
Chair Branch?
Here.
Thank you.
We'll start with our administrative agenda, the meeting minutes. Somebody want to make a motion to approve the minutes?
I have one small correction.
All right, well, let's get a motion first.
I move to accept the minutes.
Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
All right, discussion, Dennis?
Yes, one small correction. Let's see, this would be item E, conceptual review, bullet point, last point, number 13. The sign on Hollister Avenue seems overbearing and a sign in proportion to the area, deleting the word measured.
Okay. Anybody else? No? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. One abstention.
Okay. Item B2, Planning Director Report.
Right. Yes. Good afternoon, Chair Branch and members. Just a reminder that you have one meeting in November and one meeting in December. And at your next meeting, which is November 8th, Election Day, we'll present 2017 calendar for meetings. So that's it.
Okay, great. And item C, review of agenda and projected agenda?
No changes on your agenda today, and your next meeting is November 8th.
Very good. Item D, public comment. This time the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda items specific relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Anybody in the audience want to say anything? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item, which is signs calendar.
Thank you, Chair. The signs subcommittee met a little while ago with the applicant for 6601 Hollister Avenue, Decker's Monument signage. They had taken the previous advice from the board at the last meeting and submitted a new design, removing the open and centering the sign in the sign area, and we recommend approval of this. I'm going to pass that one down too. Please.
Great.
We have I got a photograph here. If anybody wants to see it.
Yeah. Just as a note, the ones that are submitted today is a little different than what was uploaded. It's centered. So if you want to pass it through there.
Okay. Great.
So I'd like to make a motion for design approval.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Perfect.
And I'll abstain on that as well.
All right. That takes us to the design review calendar. Item F1, Madam Secretary.
Item F1 is the AutoZone store exterior alterations located at 5799 Hollister Avenue and 265 Pine Avenue, case number 16140DRB.
I'm sitting in for Christina.
Okay.
So she's at a conference. And so the board reviewed this project at your last meeting, was it your last meeting? Yes. And you had several comments on the project. I believe the applicant has addressed many of them, if not all, but there's a whole list that, would you like to present the changes in the list? Or I have it here. And I'll give that to the chair as well, just double-sided.
No, you have the let me renderings, correct?
Yes, I have this. Let me put the plans.
I So as you can see, initially there was some question as to the design that they initially were following, which was going along the, you know, mission style and that. They basically taken their advice and gone away from that. They've gone with more of the earth tones that, you know, because there was some consideration with the colors being a bit too bright for the Old Town section there. So they changed the earth tones in those areas there. The finish on the canopy also, we have a Spanish house, so along with abandoning the mission design, they've decided to go with a standing seam metal canopy there with a, the finish would be a gray, basically draw metal. Look on that. So I would look on that area there. The storefront framing, they've changed that all from the red to a dark bronze anodized. The red stripe above there has been, you know, as you see, greatly minimized on that, the colors, so that it's all much more muted going along with the area there. The parapet height, they changed that a little bit to provide the horizontal articulation and color to match the body of the building. We've also worked with the signage here, which was something that they worked on quite a bit to try to figure out how to work that out. And they came up with the, doing this box-shaped dormer there to put the signage on, integrating it with the other colors and materials. Let's see. The storefront layout, they went through... And because you had mentioned about providing the access of lighting into the store to provide so you can see the life and then going on inside there, they redid the layout to make it so that they could put these windows in so they are actually into the store now. So you'll be able to see into the store at all times, thus providing the life that you were looking for. On the park side over there, we are a little bit more limited because with the way that their shelving works out and that we have shelving up along the wall there. So on those windows there, we would still need to have the blacked out at that area there. The other area was talking about the entrance. I think the young lady had mentioned that the south side where we had our entrance initially was facing south, and she had said there would be a lot of problems with the heat there. So we have relocated the entrance around the corner.
Pull this forward a little bit. There we go.
We relocated the entrance around to the other side to face the...
This?
Oh, no, this one here.
This guy? Oh, this guy.
Right. That's our main entrance now. Before we were facing the south.
The parking lot. Got you.
West. The also, we've provided over the door and that also the shade structure, basically, which would be required by the building code anyway for that.
Mm-hmm.
The other items we had going there was in regards to landscaping. We provided landscaping along the trash enclosure, all along the wall here, and along Pine here. Along Hollister, we weren't really sure because we were, that's basically not our property. And Mary had checked with the Public Works, and they said that's not really an option to put any type of street trees in that area at all. So we can't really do anything in that area. The landscaping, though, on the other areas should work out pretty well. We're looking at these areas here, Chinese holly and that, and over the trash enclosure, looking at the acacia to go in that area there. Let's see. The other item there came up right off was the lot across the street. Quite honestly, we weren't even aware of it when we first this came up of what was going to be there. But we've looked at it since that time, and the lot right now is probably 80% dirt and 20% paving. Is just, you know, it's falling apart. Plus, we have a shrine in one area, and we have a homeless person living in the back area.
Well, there's that.
So we are going to, it is going to need to be addressed. The only problem we have is that AutoZone, that was not included in their initial budget for this store when they did it. So they're going to be speaking about that to see how to address that. But that was something that, like I said, was kind of thrown at the end there, we weren't aware of. Other than that, we provided the enclosure over the dumpster
And that's really about it. I think we've addressed most of the changes there as best we could.
Okay. All right, before the board begins, how about any declarations from the board?
I've been by the site, but no ex parte communications.
Okay. Same for me. I've been by the site, no ex parte.
Same here?
Site visit, and I did review last meeting's video.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Mm-hmm. Site visit, no ex parte.
Okay. Well, with that, does the board have any questions? Tom, we'll start down with you.
I don't have any questions, Chair.
Okay.
What are the botanical names of the plants you're proposing?
Oh, I do not know. I'm sorry. Okay. I asked them myself to say, you know, what plants we're using. They said
there's probably about 100 different types of acacia. So.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're assuming acacia are a tree?
Yes. Yes. I wish I could tell you that.
Okay.
It's something
I'll roll into a comment.
We would have to get that.
Okay. Aaron, any questions?
No question.
I was wondering if you are still planning on having that strange wall in the very last parking spot.
Oh, in the parking, we are going to repair that.
You want to keep the wall in your new plants? Is it to stay or is it out?
We're showing it right now just as existing, just because it is existing. Leave.
Are we talking about this guy here?
Yeah that little one right there, okay. Right? I mean, we can remove it. It's not a problem. It's just there.
Wait for the comments, actually.
Okay.
Dennis, any questions?
No questions.
All right. Well, then, do you have any comments? We'll come back the other way.
No. In fact, I appreciate what you've done, especially in terms of the Hollister sign, the reduction of that, and it's a much better integration into the facade, opening up of the windows, of course. I guess I'll just have to live with the couple of opaque ones on pine. I like the canopy that you've put over the main entry door. In general, I think you've been very responsive to the comments.
Well, thank you.
Okay, Karis?
Yep, I agree. I think it looks like you guys did a good job, and I'd like to know what plants are thinking of going in there. And the wall is, I think, a problem that's never really, I don't see that it's benefiting you at all to have it there. But
it's not a problem. We can remove that. That's not a problem whatsoever. Something, not anything that we really wanted at all. You just have to be there. So.
Okay. Aaron?
Yeah, I'd go for the wall being removed as well. When I've gone in and out of that lot, I've just found it to be a hindrance that only increases the chance of hitting something, and it doesn't really perform any function. And just off the cuff about the parking across the street, since you brought up budget, I know the city's looking for 55 spots to lease, for lack of a better term, so you might pursue that as a way to mitigate some of the ongoing costs.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Aaron?
Can we go to the Pine Avenue elevation? That would be...
That's Pine.
Okay. I would just like to see, you know, a complete landscape plan. I think you've responded to the comments from the last meeting. I was the holly. I don't know how big what holly you're proposing, but and if it goes past this window or not.
The one that they sent me photographs of is a very low shrub with a little pointy.
Because you might be blocking this window.
Yeah, no, it's it's only like about 18 inches. Okay. Very low growing shrub.
Carl, any comments?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the red, but I presume that that red is the AutoZone red, right?
It is.
It kind of doesn't go with everything else, but I'm not sure we can do much about it, and it's just aphasia. So, other than that, you are aware the sign will require a separate permit, so that's
yes.
A separate application, and... I'm kind of with Dennis. Not, I think you've done actually quite a nice job relative to where we started last week. So I think that's all good. Not crazy about the few panels of black glazing, but minimal at this point, so I think that's okay. And I guess I was a little surprised. Don't we want him to specify the plant material at some point? Okay, and that's it.
Okay.
Tom?
My comments are going to pretty much run like everybody else's. I think this is a definite improvement over what we originally saw. And thank you for responding to the comments. Like Carl, I'm not especially a fan of the red, but then again, that's their color. That's part of their logo. And just doing it the stripe across the fascia, I think I can live with. And I appreciate you guys reworking the plan so that those front windows can show in and get, you know, show some activity in there, and you know, something that doesn't just cut people off. So I like this project. And I won't shed any tears if that little wall happens to vanish someday.
Yeah, I personally, I agree. It's so low, it's something that people get hit easily with their cars. So.
It has been hit.
Yeah, that's why it's damaged.
You can get all the parts, sir.
I'm fine with it. I think you've made a good improvement. I guess I would just add, you know, I mean, you kind of need, technically you're supposed to have some architectural details and stuff to get the approval, and it sounds like you need some landscaping to be shown. So, but it's, I think you've done a great job, and I could support this. So. So I guess at this point, it is agendized for design. All right. Well, does somebody then want to make a stab at a motion? And
motion to continue to November 8th to get the details on the landscape, and what was the other item, Chair?
Architectural details?
Oh, the details.
Yeah, the architectural details.
Thank you.
When you say architecture, do you want a complete set of documentation?
No, but you're supposed to have, you know, door and window details and the roofing details.
Oh, I see.
The canopy, how the canopy is.
You know, how that thing
okay,
is.
Okay, sections and everything else. Just the basic ones.
That's okay. I mean, it's what's required for that. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be a complete set of working drawings, though.
Right.
A lot of times when people get to design review, they have that done, and so that's what's submitted. But you do need a level of detail more than what's required here.
Okay, that's fine.
And the obviously the landscaping. So, right. So we've got a motion. Does somebody want to second that?
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We'll see you November 8th. Is that right?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so I have to have my stuff here. Okay, next item, Madam Secretary.
Item F2 is the Village at Los Caneros Podium Condominiums, located lot 9 of map 32,050, case number 16-101-DRB.
And I will be recusing myself as I'm involved with the affordable units on this project.
And Mr. Chair, this is a project that Kathy Allen is the planner for, but she's also at a conference. So Stephanie Diaz, who's been also plugged in with the project, she's going to be presenting today.
Great.
Okay, what we have is the last...
Yeah, we need to get you...
Sorry. Okay, we have the last portion of the Village at Los Carneros project.
Okay.
We call it the Podium project. It's the type of development, and I'll let the developer, Scott Stone, here tell you a little bit more about it. But it is 88 units, and it's located at the far eastern end of the property. Western. The far western end of the property, up against the Tecolotito Creek area. And the Cortona Drive connection that's going to go across the creek with a future bridge that will come back before the design review board. And if you want to flip over, we can look more carefully at the development here. And there have been a few changes since the time when you saw it, both in the types of units. They've taken away the three-bedroom units, and they're one and two bedrooms at this point. And there's been some changes to the interior courtyard, some color changes. And I think right now I'll let Scott take over. This was looked at by the DRB on October 28, 2014, in which a preliminary approval was provided. So I do have those plans here if you want to refer back to those.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good afternoon, board. Nice to see you guys. It's been a little bit of a while since we've had the project in front of you. Last time was our final on the other 232 units that are out there. So we're bringing our final component back after preliminary review for final approval. It's a podium type three-story attached condominiums, 44 units in a two-building scenario. We did do some unit changes, went from three-bedroom to some two-bedroom and den. We've tried to overlap or at least keep consistent in the concept of the overall project, which was to provide a diversified opportunity of workforce housing throughout the village at Los Caneros 465-unit development. So we have a market-rate apartment building that Trinity Group has just broken ground on last week. We've been solicited by People Self-Help Housing to be their general contractor, and we are hoping to break ground next week on the affordable housing site. We're excited about that for them and the community as well. As you can see, if you've gotten off at Los Caneros Road anytime recently, we have over 95 units under construction right now with 87 sales. So feeling like successful in the process of building this workforce housing, and this is our last component, bringing these 88 units in one bedroom, one plus den, two plus den, in a three-story product with tuck-under parking in a semi-subterranean. Mm-hmm. And so we're asking for final approval today. So what we've brought today is to identify the changes, and mostly for the board, it was to look at the architectural details of the roofs and the gutters and downspouts, window details, roof surrounds, door elements, the courtyard elements. We brought all the different components in the designs of the courtyards and how they interact and interrelate to the community itself, as well as additional landscaping in between the courtyards and some embellishments on the exterior portion of the landscaping for the project. So the OLAS component itself will have all of the availability of the facilities with all the other market rates, so it has full access to the rec center. It does have, with a podium design, we took the approach, and I apologize, I didn't introduce the rest of the team here, so I have Brian Badgett at the end to my left is the landscape architect with Environmental Patterns. Colleen Bathgate is here with William Hesmetalt Architects to talk about the podium and the details, and Sarah Bronstadt was with Comstock to here to keep me standing up straight. So the intent for the podium type product, although they do have all of these amenity opportunities within the overall community, is we wanted to kind of create its own statement within the two building areas themselves, so that people living within the OLAS community can kind of have their own private spaces, their own interactions within each other's neighborhood, their neighbors up above and down below. We've created some really unique spaces within that. We've taken two of the rooms that were, I think, initially a gym equipment room, gym rooms, or and just a accessory room where we could have meetings. We converted them into activity rooms, and I'm gonna. We've worked with our architect and our designers to come up with these areas where they're much more functional, so everyday use with fully furnished. One has more active side to it with pool table and shuffleboard, and the other and big screens, and the other side has big couches and lounges and a little kitchenette and that kind of thing, so that they can have entertainment parties, that kind of thing within that little community of the OLA. So we tried to really create it its own little uniqueness to it while maintaining all the architectural style and design of the overall Coastal Village community. So I have nothing else to say. I'd like if Kathleen would like to, I mean Colleen would like to expand on the architecture itself, then she can kind of talk a little bit about how the changes more in more detail. And I think Brian would like to approach to address just how the architecture is brought to attention in within the community, how it's addressed. So, Colleen, take it. So, you have to get mic'd up.
Perhaps you guys could switch. Switch places, perhaps. Oh. That way, you can point to stuff if you're a little closer.
Yeah. Why don't we?
There
we go.
Ah.
We got it.
A pointer.
Well, good afternoon. The overall architecture has remained the same in the mm-hmm. style. It's craftsman, early Californian, coastal Californian, with stucco and siding, and then also stone at the base, some bigger, low-sloped roofs and larger overhangs. So I think it works really well with this site. The colors are earth-toned, as you can see in the colored elevations. The two buildings have different color schemes.
Here we go.
We have larger prints, too, if you want those.
Great.
You want the larger print?
Well, it just pushes me off the table, that's
yeah,
all.
And I'm not sure it shows on the screen.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because you have the same...
We can do the smaller. They can zoom in. So, let's see. Can I start with this guy?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Is this the right building?
Yeah, it's building 200.
Building 200, and this is the color scheme for that one, and then building 100 is that color scheme. I believe the colors.
Did I go too far for?
Yeah, one I'm right in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is A-1.0. So the building 100 is a little warmer toned.
Okay.
Cooler toned, and the building 200 is a little warmer toned.
That's the right and the left?
Yeah, the left-hand building.
Oh, A1.0, there we go.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
So the stone is used primarily at the base. And then the siding is used on the upper floors to kind of break up
here,
on the massing, yes.
Down here and places in here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there's wood trim or hardy board around the wood-sided windows and then recesses around the stucco windows.
And then the material on the walls back here, stucco? Back
yes.
In shadow? for these guys?
Yes.
Okay.
A stucco with a metal railing as well. There's details in the package of that. It's a vertical picket with some knuckles on it. It's a pretty simple railing style. Really, we wanted to keep the focus on the elevation itself, the overall massing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
And so that's this color scheme, and or that's this color
that's
scheme.
That one.
And then this one is this color scheme.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And same concept with the stone and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the buildings are pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
Almost identical.
Okay. All right. Anywhere else you want to steer our pointed little heads?
I think
at this
that's point? It for the. Primarily for the architecture. I think we'll tie it in with the landscape features.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. We can
you
go to landscaping.
Switch out?
Do you have your own sheets, or can I flip to sheets here?
Let's go to the first sheet there that had the site plan, and then I'll be...
Oh.
I'll be giving you other sheets so to kind of identify.
This guy?
That'd be great. And there it went. Sorry about that. That thing fell right through the cracks there. So what we've got going on in is you've got a streetscape that's starting to occur that is already through the whole project. So we're able to work with the master landscape architect to make sure that all the plantings that are around here were of similar characteristics to what has already been put through the whole project. But we actually brought in a little bit of our own characteristics to help bring out the Craftsman, California coastal style buildings that we have. So we brought some things in that actually brought a little bit more character just to bring, just for that architecture, but we were still able to keep the intent of the overall project so that the streetscape still flowed. We're also able to keep on this project at a 98% efficiency when it comes to water. And I brought some paperwork, I'll show you that in a second. As you come in the project, and Scott was talking about these two rooms right here are the two rooms that are community rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We developed individual courtyards that were here, but we made each one of these actually accessible to everybody in the units. But we also created, this is a fire access through here, the fire trucks need to get through. So we created exterior patios that these two can open up and actually be used as a combination of both rooms, and as well as enjoy and space that's out in the community area. And if you're out for a walk, you can walk up here and wander through, and then there's a whole pathway that wanders through the whole project in the backside of the arroyo. So we're trying to encourage the use of the community to not be away afraid to come in here and actually use this space and walk through it, but it also makes it so that each building can actually use each other's functions.
Mm-hmm.
And then interior-wise, we've got... We've used a plant palette that one can, there's going to be some shade that's in these courtyards. This is a three-story unit. We are going to be having to deal with some areas that are going to be very shady too, which are going to be under certain sides of the building that we have had pottery, and we've had to deal with plants that actually cannot take the heavy drought because they're going to be literally going to be in shade. And so we've dealt with the plant palette that actually is enticing to, one, help us with the water management we have here, but two, help us play with the coastal community, as well as create outdoor rooms. Each room, we have rooms that we set up so they can actually have a place to, when you're in a community and people are looking down on you, we had to create a room that you can kind of go out and hang out that people aren't like in a fishbowl. So we created them in both sides of it. We've created these little outdoor rooms that actually have places where fire and you can go hang out and, mm-hmm. and have a great time. On the other side of this courtyard, there actually is a little aerial, and then here's another view down below. you actually have, as you can tell, we've done some paving patterns in here that actually start to create and bring back some of the stone elements that are on the outside of the architecture. So we're not just pouring concrete in this courtyard. We start getting some rich feels that you can actually feel like this is a, you know, is your own backyard. With seating areas, umbrellas, we've actually created these three fun seats to sit out there and read and just relax on a Sunday. And hopefully we're hoping to engage the people in this community to come out and actually spend time together, which is what the whole idea was, to get them to come together and enjoy space. So with both of these communities side by side, each one of them is similar in style to this, but they're also quite different in the sense that we've created individual spaces for each one of these courtyards, but yet we still have to bring some continuity to the space that we have been given, that each one feels like it's their own home, but they can actually go back and forth and use both sides of this. There is at the front entrance, if you can go back to the front plan here for a second here, there is a small recirculating water feature that we're talking about. This grade at this street is about 30 inches higher than the street right here. This building, 200 to the right, is actually 1 foot higher than this building. This building is 1 foot lower than this one. So when you walk up and you ramp up this at like a 5% slope, I think it worked out 4 or something here, there'll be no railings, and then you can actually walk into this unit. This one, we actually have stairs that go up into this unit. But we created some gabion planters to try to get some recycling, to try to make sure that we actually are being, you know, logistic, not to put stucco planters out here and get the, you know, some neat stone elements. And this is just a water feature that literally is at the 18 inches. It's 18 inches above the upper area here. This still needs some work on it. We haven't got a final approval on this. But it's a concrete edge around it with stone, and this is 18 inches above the 30 inches. So it's about a 4 feet drop, and it just drops into a dry stream, if you will. It just disappears. So by doing that, we can keep all the water under it. You also eliminate almost evaporation way down by keeping all the water not in a pond, but it goes into a sunken pit that's underneath the gravel, and then you just get some cooling features of having this little stream that just kind of wanders down, but it gives a little bit of an interest so someone hopefully will stop and relax and take, go on a walk and hang out at the front of this and just be part of the community. Mm-hmm. Low voltage lighting was used throughout the project so that we can keep all the the efficiency of the electrical. We kept it as what we call a more of a darker community, and I don't mean dark from the standpoint of dark, but we didn't want to light this thing up so it feels like you're in, you know, downtown LA and lights are shining everywhere. We wanted to accentuate the building, accentuate the architecture, but also keep it so that people have, in this area, especially in here, this is their yards, that they would have the look of like a rear yard, if you will, or a patio they would have, but we kept the lighting to a minimum. Besides just the you have to have path of travels, we kept mm-hmm. everything low level and not shining into people's faces and in through their units. They're also created in each courtyard, individual along this side here and along this side here, individual patios. So we're able to capture individual spaces where they can actually have their own patio chairs out there. And then on this side, these units actually captured it on the outside. So they actually have individual patios on the outside. Now these patios, literally the slope of the way the grade works from ground to get up to soften the subterranean, which is only halfway down, we're going to slope up to it. So that actually, the patios will feel like they're at grade. They're not going to be floating up in the air. They will feel like they're at grade, which allows this side to have patios as well as this side to have interior patios. This side actually has beautiful views of the arroyo that's down through here, and we've given some side patios to some of the units that are on the side, which just gives a little bit more of a personal space for the units. I think that's what I got. Any other questions?
Okay. Before we get into our questions and stuff, I'd like to get declarations from everybody.
I visited the site, but no ex parte.
I haven't visited since the original, but I'm pretty familiar with it right out there, so but I have no ex parte.
I did not revisit the site, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I have not revisited the site and no ex parte discussions.
All right. Well, with that, why don't we start, Dennis, down at your end with any questions you might have?
All right. How about a really dumb, simple question? Scott, does OLAS have anything to do with the design?
It has something to do with the community. OLAS means wave.
Right.
So it's a coastal village community, and so it...
There's the connection.
It's only the connection to the plan. All of our product within the village at Los Caneros, they have a product name, but they don't have a village within the village, basically. Right. So everybody's in the village at Los Caneros, and they can say, oh, yeah, I live over at the OLAS product or whatever.
I was looking for some reflection in the design, either landscape or building, but thank you for that clarification.
And it wasn't a dumb question.
I appreciate the water feature as an entry element. I think it's trying to mitigate between the hard rectilinear square and the naturalistic flow off. I don't think it's quite yet resolved. Water features would be, especially ones that have sound and motion, would seem to be more practical in the courtyards. However, you're above a platform garage. That just may not be feasible. The railings around the driveways, the drive aisles, don't show up on all the drawings, so but they start to on some of them. I would suggest a little more detail on the railings might be helpful. I don't think they showed up in the drawings. Did they somewhere? I didn't see. Did anybody see that? My specific comment is that the public railings might have a different disposition than the private railings on the balconies to differentiate where you are in this big complex, if that makes any sense at all. I think, to be more clear, the entry railings have more importance than those in the rest of the complex. You might consider that as a compliment. I'm not too sure about the gabions. I like the premise of using them. Does everybody even know what gabions are?
They're caged rock.
Right.
Basically.
So it's all going to depend upon the cage. I like the disposition of the rock, but whether this is stainless steel or some sort of rusting character, it's really going to be important towards realizing your full concept.
The idea was to try to get away from a hard built. Oh, thank you. A hard built wall, and trying to get more to. The idea was that the rubble will match the color of the stone that's actually on it, and it was not stainless steel. It's not trying to be contemporary at all. I'm just trying to get a little bit more friendly from the standpoint of not looking and seeing more walls at this front of this, and the idea was to have that gabion have, there's trees in there. They're actually planters that have trees pop up. The idea was to have this softer feel, beach community, if you will, and that's why we then put the little water feature in the same kind of rock that's there, and that I just put a little harder edge around it to try to give a little bit more, just instead of having this wandering stream that came down.
I think you're on your way to achieving it, but are they galvanized, or
no,
what is the,
no,
will
actually,
it rust?
They're actually a more of a rusty type plant that, you know, that's just a metal material that basically can't rust, so you have to actually use one that is in that type of range. But they'll be in the black, the bronze color. They will not be in the stainless steel. The ones I expect are more of a bronzy color.
So it will have a finish on it.
It will have a finish. What they call a powder coating finish.
And then there weren't very many sections, and I really find your 3D illustrations helpful to understanding the design. In fact, I would give high praise to the landscape designs. I think they're very rich and in some senses even outpace the architectural design. Nothing pejorative about that, but it is all about the spaces in between the buildings. I think you've achieved that. And to that end, in one of the illustrations, the elevator, the circulation towers appear to be great sort of blank walls in the middle of these rich courtyards. And I think they could use a little more articulation either with materials.
Here?
or something, because they will be the feature. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Scott. That will be the dominant element of your courtyard experience, and whether you have vines going up them or some manipulation of materiality to break up that space, I think that would enhance your project.
Part of what we did on the rendering shows the trees and the things that we put there very small. We actually do have plant material, and I've got a layer of lower plants. I have some higher trees and things that are supposed to soften that.
So they will be going up using that as a backdrop.
They have some dracaenas in there that are larger. I have some on the other side. Yes. I have some sweet shade trees in there because it's real shady on the one side.
Yes.
So I've got some vertical trees that will be going up in that to help soften
very good.
Both sides.
Thank you for the response.
Karis, any questions?
I was looking at the parking lot with the storage unit. I'm not sure what page that is on. Did you guys ever take a look at that?
This guy?
Yeah. It works.
Yeah. Down here?
Yeah.
There's
well,
two
down
one
on
the front and one on the side.
The ones closer to you. Yeah, there. Those ones. It looks like people are parking right in front of the entrance to the storage units. Is that correct?
There's a walkway. There's telling
people. Yeah. Is there a wall there then between the parking lot and the walkway?
There's a curb stop and then there's a walking path.
I can point it out.
So you got the curbs here and then people can walk in front of them here.
Yeah, there's basically you can enter right here and then walk
through here.
Through there.
Okay.
So there is a kind of a clear pathway from there.
Or you come over around here and go into this guy over here.
Correct. I mean, you can always go in between the spaces, but the preference would be to go along that path.
Yeah, because if you go the other way, then you bone to people's cars, right?
Correct.
You're trying.
Yes.
I noticed they all end swing. And that's, I assume that's all fire code and everything. That they
yes.
have storage units that swing
they're all
in.
Metal.
Okay. That was my big question. Thank you.
Aaron, do you have any questions?
Yeah. Are you using gray or reclaimed water for the landscape? Okay.
So reclaimed water isn't available near our site. They're a mile away. So when we got our project approved and the water district, they're unable to supply us with reclaimed water. So the project doesn't have reclaimed. We are... have connections for if they ever get reclaimed to the site, they can convert.
So real quick, too, we use dirty valves, dirty heads. It's not purple pipe, but we used all the things that if they ever have to switch it over, it's a pretty easy fix to switch it over, except you'll have to identify the valves and we'll have to strap and do purple covers and boxes. But there's no purple pipe, which is obviously identified for reclaim. But we did use dirty heads, dirty valves from the standpoint of we have all drip. There's no spray heads on this. This is all laser tubing, and it is all underground. So you'll have no evaporation. You'll have no spraying on your buildings. And, so it gets a much better setting. So that's why we went that direction.
Any PV called out for? I didn't see anything.
Solar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where was that? Do you know what?
Well, I'm not sure if it's on that plan or not. It was a separate submittal. I'm not sure if they got it on there or not. But
yeah,
the project requirement for our overall project is that every building has solar. So we do have solar planned for this, and it'll be on the mansard areas of the roof.
Scott, that's sheet A217, the roof plan.
Oh. Yeah, but I think solar's on there.
It's not
solar?
Shown on there.
I can have it over.
We don't have the
details right?
of any solar. We're just going to show the roof layout.
So you're saying solar was a part of your conditions of approval, or
solar is a part. It is a part of the product condition. So we do have, and every building out there right now that's under construction has solar on it.
Okay.
It's not solar ready. We actually are installing solar. So both buildings will have solar on them as well, and. We did submit that package at preliminary approval. We just, for some reason, it was a late submittal because it's a separate permit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in this package.
Okay.
But we can circle back.
And likewise, I didn't see any EV stations anywhere. Are there? Maybe
they are.
They were too buried and I missed them.
Yeah, they're in the parking plan. They have a little designation on a symbol. It's 25% of the parking is EV.
Isn't that these guys?
Right here.
Yeah, there should be.
Those guys right there?
Right.
Yeah.
Those are these little guys right there.
That one here? Yep.
Yeah, so they're there and you just look at the legend and it's right there in the legend. Well, then if you're like me, I can't see those small prints, so I have to get a bigger plan.
And that was it for questions.
Okay. Aaron?
Yeah, that rendering right there on top, is that a accurate representation of the building colors within the courtyards?
I'm going to say no.
No, there's something happened with that.
This literally is our round that we're doing with the marketing people. And we're going
microphone, please.
These colors and even all the finished materials outside have not been approved by us. I brought these just in there in the stage of working with them to make sure that we get the true colors as well as the true plants. Some of these plants aren't indicative of exactly the plants we're using.
Right.
And so we are in the process of continuing to work with what the renderist on that.
Oh, okay.
Would we see the same mix of colors we'd see in the front, or would it be a little more simple, or...?
So these are the colors you have on the architecture for the different buildings, and you're talking about these right here.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the building. I'm talking about
the flatwork. I'm sorry.
No, I'm talking about the building colors.
Yeah,
the
wall,
building colors. Yeah, the columns.
Yeah, the interior courtyard colors are what's specified on our color schemes.
Okay.
So it's going to be the same mix as the front.
Yeah, the outside, the inside. We don't have a separate scheme interior wise.
So, like, would this wall be a different color than the columns, for example, or?
I'd have to look at our color assignment, but we can let our architect. Do we have it in? We do have color assignment on the big sheet. And the color assignment would show us.
You mean
the one with the multicolors?
Right.
The pictures that Brian's been showing are from a 3D virtual tour that we're
like these.
We're creating for the product. Yep.
Yeah, like
yep.
The hallways would be darker.
They would be more.
And like
I think,
the gable here is going to be this color.
Correct.
And it looks like this is the base color.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you'll have the different colors inside.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, that's very white. I'm not sure where that color is. Just because the intent for these photos are they're proofs of a 3D video model that we've hired a company to do to help us market the podium. So to give a sense of trying to experience the courtyard before it's built, because it's such a long process before the product's built. So
You
don't want to go through it. So we're still fine-tuning. I don't think the umbrellas are going to be the pinwheel umbrellas that they show there. But but it was something they pulled off of their own placeholders.
Are you doing any stormwater detention, catchment, anything like that?
No, the project already has, we already have within the project, everything comes off of this site into our stormwater and catchment system. We have two filtration systems, all underground.
Yeah.
Two underground filtration and two underground storage along with CDS units. So the storm drain system feeds into all of those.
Those overflow to the creek.
Before they flow to the creek, correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Any questions, Tom?
Just one brief question.
I think you turned your mic off.
I'm sorry. There we go. On the memorandum that staff produced, the second item is said the parking has been reduced from 178 to 154. So where did the space that got freed up? Where did that go to?
Well, what actually happened was the footprint of the building got smaller overall, which was a benefit to the open space. So we were able to widen out the in-between the units and around it. So we just tried to maximize the – once we went from conceptual design, and Colleen can speak to it in more detail, but when we went from conceptual design to construction drawings and started refining each unit themselves, we were able to get the better geometry, and it caused a little bit of a shrinkage. In addition, when we came to you in September, which is when it was 923, when we got preliminary approval, we didn't have the mechanical drawings ready yet. And so once mechanical started into the building, they had to capture some space for an equipment room for electrical and equipment rooms for the elevator shaft and extra stairs that we had talked about through our preliminary that we put in. So it started to shrink a couple of those, but we were still able to maintain the spaces and required by the parking ordinance. And so that's really what swallowed them up was, it was mostly the mechanical and equipment rooms and a little bit of a shrinking of the footprint.
Thank you.
I have no questions. So do you want to start with any comments, Tom?
Well,
Before we do, I just so the only one comment you did have that was item, I want to say it was 12 or something on the preliminary approval, was just that we do something to break up the exterior colors from first floor to third floor. Mm-hmm. So you see in the elevations that we have that extra treatment of material mm-hmm. with the siding and some stone on the bottom and some different color variation. So just wanted to note out that we did address that, your mm-hmm. concerns.
Overall, I like this project. I think you addressed the concerns that we had. I think it did that really well. And I like this. That's about the only comment I have at this point.
Okay. Great. Aaron?
I think you've given us a really complete set of drawings, and that's appreciated. I think the color boards are have more interest in the renderings, and I'm kind of struggling with that. Do we need more color blocking or not? So I'd be interested to hear what other board members think of that. I like the colors generally. So that's a comment on the architecture. The hardscape design, it's really nice. I think you've done a great job. A lot of interest with that. There is one plant, though, that is invasive, the Mexican feathergrass. That will self-seed itself and spread. I'm sure you can come up with some other grass for that. It's a nice, beautiful grass, but it does self-seed all over the place.
I only got it in the courtyard up in front.
I think you understand my comment with the colors on the interior courtyards. I think if you're matching the front, that's going to be a lot more interesting than what the rendering shows. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The fountain. I don't know if it's really the right time to be doing a fountain in this drought. I would encourage either to use reclaimed water, recycled water, or maybe just plant it out for now and turn it over to a fountain in the future. But I think it kind of installing a fountain in this day and age is just not really a good use of water, especially potable water. And those are only my comments.
Senior Sweeney?
I did want to say that the minimal lighting in the courtyards, I know I would enjoy that myself living there, so I think that's great. And the work that was done to get as many units as possible a patio, same thing. I would go with Aaron on his comments about the fountain and encourage you again to reconsider gray water use.
Karis?
Some of the other ones, the definitely want to remove the invasive plants. There's also maybe you have a lot of grasses. Maybe look at some of them in terms of there's some places you could maybe use a native bear grass or something for your sedges. It's not a big point, but definitely the invasives. I kind of like the water feature idea of having drawing in the stream and keep reminding people that they're right there next to it. I'm not a big fan of the concrete square stream. So that's my comment to that one. But I do like the idea of bringing in some sort of element there, but maybe we could do something else. And then in terms of the reclaimed water, if you guys are planning to bring this in, you know, you have to have certain distances between potable, and you have to have room for all of those things to occur. So, yeah, reclaimed or gray water would be great anywhere that it can be done. And then the only question I sort of had was about this large wash light. I see them in many of the courtyards, too. Do we know which one that one is? I was looking in your... Do you just mean a bigger one of these?
Oh,
these triangle-shaped
ones? As far as the courtyard lighting?
Yeah.
Is what we've chosen. So they do make a bollard that is similar in design.
Okay, so the large flashlight.
But I think,
were
you doing walls or bollards?
Yeah, so we had a mixture of bollard type light, wall lighting, and then up lighting that would light them. So we have a mixture of lights that most of the path of travel had to be a certain wattage that we have to deal with the fire department and exiting. So we do have the bollards that get you out. We do have some wall lights, and we do have some lights that are just lighting up the actual interior courtyard. But we're struggling trying to make sure we keep it low enough, but safety too, you know, that we can do that.
So the large wash lights that are placed periodically throughout are emergency floodlights?
They're actually a bollard light. It's not just a floodlight that just floods it. It's actually like a bollard light. And then we have some in some of the walls where we have lights that are in the walls that shine, you know, areas. Yeah. We have a mixture of them.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
Dennis?
Well, I guess I threw some of my comments in with my questions there. But
quite all right.
To continue with that, I'm a bit concerned. I'll defer to the landscape experts. While both of the courtyards will receive a good shot of sunlight, I'm a bit concerned that some plants like the bougainvillea may not receive the heat that they really need. If I understand your intention here is to add more color and life to the courtyards, I would be concerned about the amount of light that the courtyards would get in a three-story with just that minimal 4 hours of light passing over.
Actually broke down. The bougainvillea is only on the exterior. It's not in the courtyard.
Oh. Well, then I'm having trouble reading might be understandable.
I just did a plan right here that if I maybe send it to you. So I gave, you know, the center alleyway, and the bougainvillea is to be in the actual building. And it was supposed to be...
I'm looking at LP17, and it looks like...
It may have gotten mixed, but it was supposed to be on the outside only. Let me confirm that.
I'm looking at LP17, and I think I see bougainvillea in two central planters.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, the comment stands about adequate light for these...
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Yes. And then to build on that, if you are adding all of this color and life to these wonderfully rendered courtyards, I would suggest a stronger color palette in the interiors of the courtyards as opposed to coloring the entire exterior in the same color so that your planting material was reflected on the colors and materials in the courtyard walls to really enhance that idea of what I think you're going for.
So here's your bougainvillea running along the front of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no bougainvillea.
Okay, I'm looking at those two square planters in the center there of the sheet that you have in your hand. They're two rectangular. Yes.
Yeah, looks like these guys right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong courtyard. You're right. It's right there. I was in the wrong courtyard.
Okay.
You were correct. I'm sorry.
But you understand the comment very well.
Yeah.
And then just to reiterate that the coloration of the courtyard walls could reflect that planting and just stronger hues, maybe some accents of color, some around to really liven it up.
One of the things we use to plant material is we try to do textural plants and use, you know, colors and textures with plants and not have to deal with actual flowers. And that's, you know, that we wanted the plants to be the ones that actually enhanced. And that's part of the reason what this whole community has. And on the outside, they have quite a few grasses throughout. And that's what we were capturing, the grasses that they had to bring those through here, too. And some of the grasses are amazing. But your comment on the Mexican grass, I completely get.
Well, to return to that, my previous question about the elevator tower wall, if that were to have one just shot of color that really worked against, what did you say, the agave attenuata or the dragon tree, Dracaena Durango, you could really come up with just one interesting color statement there.
I don't have much to add. I've seen this from its inception to now, and I think you guys have paid an enormous amount of attention to detail and the things we've said. So I'm in support of it. I would agree with a lot of the comments that have been said, and I think you guys have done a nice job.
Could I add one more comment to that?
Certainly.
I'm kind of along with Karis about the water feature. I kind of like seeing it there. I mean, I know culturally in areas that where water is very, very precious, i.e. North Africa, Spain, water features are a useful thing. I mean, just like as a, I don't know, I call it a morale builder, but it's at least it's a reminder that it's still out there somewhere.
but not right now.
Well, but if this is recirculating, you know,
I think
the statement that it makes and the pleasure that it gives, I think would be certainly appropriate for the amount of evaporation that happens over that stretch of streamway. So that's the only other comment I wanted to make.
Can I make a comment about the reason why we put it in there is in arid communities, that's how they used to get their air conditioning. They used to run the wind across the water to bring in the actual change of climate. So the reality is this is a self-circulating, you know, recirculating material. It has just the creek feel on the interior, whether it's got a hard edge or a soft edge, that can be, you know, adjusted. But the idea is that it is very little water use. And when you look at pools or water features that are, you know, that have captured water underneath it, pools use 1% of 1% of water that plants use for the same area. So if you take a pool square footage and you figure out how much landscaping you're going to have to put there, it's 1% of 1%. So when you take a hardscape like this and you actually do that, you really start getting an area where you're actually trying to save water. You do get, anytime you run water across something, you're going to get evaporation. But the idea is to bring some other climate in there, which will help the plants and help the community and help, you know, identify it. That's why. And it's a fairly small one, but that was why we did it.
And I just want to say, I agree with Tom's comment about the culture. I like the look of it. It's just the timing, and why I was agreeing with Aaron was because
I think I agree with that
someday,
as well.
Just
I mean,
not
I think
today.
Keep it, and when we have water, fire it up. But I'd be judicious
or,
about
or
when you do. So
capture some stormwater and pump it into there.
There you go.
Oh yeah, and again,
no, I think it's a great design feature.
Very little.
I just, might consider. I just yeah. think potable water use is not appropriate. That's just my opinion.
I did go through one of the things I did do is look at, you know, I mean, your detail packages. Is deep, and I looked at a lot of the details. And
it's less pages than last time.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. All right. Well, they're looking for design
just
approval.
Just one other thing. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about lighting, to Kara's question, you said uplighting. What uplighting is there? And
we have some within the courtyards only. And we've got lights on some of the trees and specimens just to do a light, and it's LED soft. I think they're off the look. I think they're 6 or 7 watts, but they're just to bring some ambience into that courtyard. So that we do have the lights that are on underneath the catwalks around. There's lights. You've got lights on the units. And we just wanted to bring a little bit of, if you're sitting out there, to be able to have a little bit of accent of some lighting within the courtyard.
Okay.
Do those comply with our dark skies?
So up to this point, I mean, everything that we've spec'd is dark sky compliant and certified dark sky compliant. If there's if the uplighting in the planter areas don't meet dark sky compliant ordinance, then we'll switch them out to what does. So we'll follow the, we'll comply with the order, and planning will guarantee that I do that.
You just took the words out of my mouth. Good. Okay. Good. All right. Well, then, does somebody want to take a stab at a motion? Bueller? Well, how? What?
Mr. Chair, so I think the board, if you have comments that you feel confident that staff can handle at conformance review, then you can make an approval with those comments and conditions. Otherwise, the option is to continue.
How comfortable are you with the comments you made with that, Karis?
Comply with the changes in the planting material, the lighting bollards, and then just one more little tweak in there is that when you do redo the water fountain, just, you know, kids are going to want to be playing in there, so maybe no sharp falls onto rocks or anything if you can avoid that, because, you know, if there's water, there's going to be kids sticking their finger in it.
The rocks that actually are in there are cemented down for that reason.
Yeah.
So if they run and play on it, it's just like a little stream where they're running through it. It's not loose rocks that they can pick up and throw out a window, too. That's one of the things.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Play rocks. Good. Perfect.
Yeah, typically staff will catch that stuff, and if it's something they need from us, they'll either email the chair or chair's designee to, if we're the case of landscaping and that kind of thing. So that gets covered pretty well.
Yes, Stephanie can certainly reinforce that, but my experience with staff is they are very attentive to the DRB notes, and once we go through our LUP approvals, they make sure that we are in conformance with the DRB approvals, including any outstanding conditions that we had to accommodate. So, and we'll, since this is the last of our several components within the project, we'll continue our compliance and do what the recommendations are.
All right. So, motion from somebody?
I'll take a stab at a motion.
Okay.
Project design approval with conformance review with the following comments. Pick a non-invasive alternative for the Mexican feather grass. Remove all uplights in the courtyards and replace with dark sky fixtures. Either landscape the fountain or use recycled water for the fountain. Study the bougainvillea in the courtyards in terms of sunshade, the shade that's there. Did I miss anything?
Oh, consider
you and soften those elevator towers
in the courtyards, particularly with regards to the tower.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure that my planting is going to soften it and the colors of it. That's what he had.
What, are we talking about the building colors or the plant material colors?
Building colors.
Building and the tower.
Yeah. So, study the building colors to break up the mass of the elevator tower, and also provide complementary plant materials that enhance the courtyards. I think that's it.
All right. All right, how about a second?
I'll second.
A second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
There you go. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right, you get to be chair from here on. I have to recuse.
Is Carl back?
Yeah, he's here somewhere, I think. All right, Madam Secretary, the next item, please.
Item F3 is the McCallion Homes project. It's located on lots 1 through 12 of final map 13081, intersection of Stowe Canyon Road and Yadin Hillway, and it's case number 16107 DRB through 16118 DRB.
All right.
And I will be recusing myself as the architect is a client of mine.
And before we start, I'd like to call for declarations from the board members.
Good luck. Thanks.
So, site visit, no ex parte.
All right.
Site visit, no ex parte, and just want to make a note that I can be fair and impartial in this one. Thank you.
All right.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Thank you. And is
Dennis site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte, myself. Is Dennis going to be in on this?
There you go.
What happened to Member Whalen?
The restroom.
Oh, okay. Sorry. We'll wait for just a few minutes. He'll be, yeah. Dennis, we had taken declarations on this project, but you were not immediately available.
Did you make them for me?
No.
Yes.
No additional site visit and no ex parte discussions.
I just want to admit that while I was in the conference room, the applicant and his team came in because that's where they were going to be at, so I moved, but I did say aye.
Okay.
These drawings are exactly the same as those, but I should put some color on the elevations.
Whatever you want to show on TV.
Are we all set here?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we'll start off with the staff report on this project.
All right, thank you, Vice Chair. Yes. Good afternoon. Just real briefly here, wanted to go over some points in the staff report. I'll spare you reading it line per line, but wanted to go over a few key points that we can discuss further as we go along. So background, we saw this for conceptual review on June 28th, and this is again for 12 existing lots that had been subdivided back in 1981. The applicant's proposing a single-family dwelling on each lot. So I provided some analysis in the staff report that hopefully you all read and memorized. Table number 2 talks about general plan and zoning ordinance consistency. I wanted to briefly point out the front yard setback section of that table because the board during conceptual had asked about the front yard setbacks.
project is actually using three different provisions in the zoning ordinance to meet their front setbacks, depending on where the lot's located in the subdivision. The first is your standard R1 that we're all familiar with, your R1 standard of 50 feet from the center line and 20 feet from the edge of right-of-way. So lots 1 through 6 and 12 are using that provision, and that's one that we know very well. The next provision is one out of our general regulations that allows garages no closer than 10 feet from right-of-way with director approval for not more than 50% of the lots in a subdivision on each side of a street in each block. So lots 7 and 8 are using that provision with a 15-foot setback for their garage. And then the last provision is provides a 40% reduction of the front yard setback if the ground measured at 50 feet from the center line of the street is 7 feet above or below the elevation of the center line. So lots 9 through 11 are requesting a 25% reduction of front setback based on the fact that measured 50 feet in from the center line, the elevation is above 7 feet or more than 7 feet higher than the center line elevation. So I think the plans enumerate that pretty well, but just wanted to point that out. And I can take any questions on that after I finish the presentation here. The other thing I wanted to point out, beneath table 3, so table 3 is the recommended floor area ratio table. Wanted to point out that the appendix E, which is this is based on, has specific methods for calculating both net lot area and floor area. So sub points 1, 2, and 3 below the table there talk about how you do that. I think again the plans show this pretty well as we go lot by lot. In the project info, it shows what the dwelling square footage is based on this calculation method, the garage square footage, and then any excess garage square footage that is beyond the allowance of the 650 square feet in number 2 there. So again, just wanted to point that out. I also in the staff report provided a breakdown by topic of your 20 different findings. Tried to group them together in topics of neighborhood compatibility, quality of architecture and design, quality of landscape design, and zoning. I think staff's request would be that as you make comments and are having discussions on the project, that you ensure to relate those comments back to a finding at some point, just so that we can keep that all squared away for the record. I think that's all I really wanted to say up front. I can take any questions from the board. Otherwise, we can throw it over to the design team.
I have a question.
Sure.
Well, I should know. Maybe I don't know. That's okay. I'll pass on that. Whatever Carl does.
Technically, while these are all coming to us at one lump, technically we could approve one at a time, correct? Because they are individual lots.
Right. And actually, yeah, I meant to say at the end of my presentation, we could review it in chunks if we wanted to. A good starting point might be the ones that are visible from Dara Road as an example of a starting point. But yes, they are 12 individual land use permits and can be or will be approved separately. Yeah.
And then the situation with the front yard setback relative to lots 7 and 8 Has the director given her approval for that, or is that something that we need to weigh in on relative to that, or where is that at?
The director has given verbal approval. The approval will actually happen when the land use permits are issued.
Right.
But yes, we were, staff was given permission to use that provision.
Okay.
Because it met the requirements for no more than 50% of the lots on one side of the street. And okay. They're all also being all right. proposed to be developed at the same time.
Okay.
So it's now Mr. McHaleen and staff.
All right. So if you guys could introduce yourselves for the record, make sure you're all on mic when you speak. So maybe we could pass mics around, or Linda, do you have a handheld one?
Can I ask a question before you carry on?
Sure.
Said in there that the landscape plan is forthcoming. It's not part of this. Okay.
Right. So that will be at a later phase.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Well, good afternoon. I'm here finally after a blown-out tire on the freeway, which was a bit traumatic, but it's only 10 days old, so it's a lousy tire. But my name is Kim Kimball. I'm Hercel's longtime friend and attorney, Hercel McHaleen. This is his friend from many years in the planning department of the county, Dev Ratt, and then the most important guy on our team is Britt Jewett, the architect. And I'll just start off with a general statement and then turn it over to the architect, because that's who you want to hear from, not from me. We've designed this project. We've been very careful to try to design it to be compliant within and in many ways well below the various specific requirements of the general plan and the zoning ordinance. We feel the staff has done a really good job in the staff report. I don't think we could have written it much differently. It seems to summarize it clearly and right on point. And so since I know you would rather hear from an architect than a lawyer, and this isn't a legal proceeding, it's a design one, I'm going to turn this over to Britt and let you architects do your thing. Thank you.
Okay, so what we have here is a project that consists of 12 lots. You saw it previously. A gated access to a road that's off of Still Canyon, and then three lots on Dara. And there are principally four floor plans, a two-story floor plan that we have six lots that the two stories plotted on. Then there's a split-level plan off of the cul-de-sac, and a modification of that split-level plan, and then a standalone plan, which is lot 12.
You're not pointing Pardon to the me. One on the...
Could you use the pointer and use the other drawing that's on the video?
On the screen.
I see. All right. Boy, now I'm... All right. So there's a two-story plan that is plotted on six of the lots. We add variety to the floor plan by varying the garage access. Some of them have a turning garage. These are turning garages, and then there's a front end garage over here. There's also variety added to the elevation character by how the plan is entered. We have porch entrance on this one where you come in and then you turn into it, and then a straight ahead entrance here. So as we look down the street, there's a 14-foot grade change between the first plan as you enter the project and the one that's furthest away. In addition, we've tried to plot them such that the entrances here at the end of the cul-de-sac gang together, and the garages are off to the side, so that the parts of the plan that have the most life are located in the principal view, and establish a character that isn't dominated by garages to the street. We're taking advantage of existing topography, as there's a grade slope that comes across these lots by developing a split level plan for lots 7 and 8. There's a 4.5 foot differential between the parking court and then, which is here, which is a turning garage and a service element, and then there's a stair that comes in to the living portion of the house. And to to maximize the livability of the plan and take advantage of the longest views from the main living portions of the house, we've orientated all of the living portions to the south and established a service area or an inactive zone against the property line to the north. So everyone's views then are taking a diagonal view and maximizing the perceived size of the lot from the living core. That concept was carried through on these three lots on the other side on Dara, providing a one-story element closest to the street, a parking court, and then a grade change of 4.5 feet here, wherein the principal portion and living of the house is roughly 50 feet or greater from the front property line as we face Dara. So in terms of addressing scale on Dara, what we've done is brought garage faces to the street, which are 20 feet wide, matching the setbacks and the massing of there, and then loading the bulk of the planned footage to the interior of the lot. And as you can see on all of the rear yards, there's no situation wherein the bulk of the lot width is taken up with a plan at the setback. And we have similar situations in here where the large lots to the back are a function of the plotting of the plan so that the living areas have the longest view to the rear yard fences. So I have some colored elevations here which start to define. This is the same set that you have. I just put some color on the elevation so you can see them a little better. So this is in general what's happening on the cul-de-sac portion. What we did was we took architectural character of what it was consistent with early California from San Diego all the way up through the Bay Area. And it allows us to develop an aesthetic that has a lot of variety in both in terms of how we enter and the different massing scenarios that we have within the same floor plan. So some of them have decks in front. This is a window to the front, and varying some of the window trim details, incorporating stone and other items on the outside. This is the floor plan, which, as I talked about, sometimes we have an entrance that comes in from a porch entry. Sometimes we have a front entrance. These are typical details consistent with executing the Spanish colonial style. This is the neighboring house, where we do not have a deck here. It has a stronger mass over the entry, arched entrance with tile under the window, and bringing in color and proportion that's consistent with historic examples that we see. And as we keep going down the street, you'll see variance in the entrance windows, how the garage doors work, and a consistency of dealing with color and detail that is based on historic precedent. This one has a balcony over the porch, and the entrance is from right onto the stairwell rather than off of the porch. So here we have the entrance coming in this way, where other plans are coming in from the other direction. These are the front-end garages, and the first two plans had side-end garages. Again, once the variation between the setbacks, the orientation of the plans, and the fact that the plans are reversed, it gives a different presentation for each of the lots. And then we get into the split-level plans. This is still lot six. This is the last of the two-story plans, incorporating the plaster and barrel tile elevations. This is where the split-level plans happen. Here we see the two-foot grade change that happens across the living portion as opposed to the driveway, turning garages, so we don't have garage doors to the street. It also keeps more curb at the street for guest parking. This one is the interior of those two. It's consistent in style with the other six houses on the lot, developing the massing back in the middle of the plan with outdoor covered outdoor areas that relate to the long view through the diagonal of the backyards. This is a mid-level room that's off of the stairs above the garage. Then we come up to a single bedroom that's up high and sits above here. And then the rest of the plan is all one story toward the back. This is an outdoor area that relates to the side and backyards. And the same would be true of the next plan. However, we started to incorporate materials that are found in the neighborhoods to be compatible with the neighborhood. What we want to do is we want to use board and bat siding and pick up on the materials that are in the neighborhood, but do it in a way that we feel is consistent with some of the coastal ranch aesthetic that we see. This is a photograph of a neighbor that is consistent with the early California or Spanish colonial influence. That, as I said, was a very consistent style throughout coastal California. So this is all the floor plans, and then where are we now? Lot 9. This is one that would be on Dara, and it has a board and bat siding. It starts to pick up more of a farmhouse character as a nod to, I think, the direction of the board last time we met to take a look at some of the things that are more specific to Goleta. And so as we move to the outside of the private cul-de-sac lots, we're addressing neighborhood compatibility and the idea of making it fit consistently with the character of Goleta. This is the other split level plan off of Dara, and its elevation, again, picking up farmhouse type vernacular with board and bat, the dark window trim, flat concrete or a flat clay tile, and railing details that evoke the coastal ranch aesthetic. There's the plan with its bedroom up, the room above the garage, and the floor plan that orients to the south. And then the last one is plan 12. It should be on plan 12 by now. Where are we?
Right here. Yeah, 11.
This is 11. Okay, so here's 11 and 11, and then plan 12 is a unique plan that driveway is existing on the side. We come in and we turn into a garage here and a garage here, and then there's a stair that takes you up to this main floor plan. Here's the elevation of this house, again, drawing on a ranch type style, windows with shutters, flat tile, a little bit of a volume where we get a high glass coming in, stacking the windows, and using familiar elevation aesthetics from the historic examples. And this is the floor plan. This is the rear setback, and all of our principal rooms are looking down into a view where we're preserving a stand of oak trees and existing vegetation. In each of these, there's a consideration as to where services would be oriented, and on all of the plans, there's a location in the outside of the side yard setback, but behind the garage, that's a private and zone for condensers and air handling equipment that's not seen from public view, and is, as I said previously, located the active side of the house to the sun, and kept utility and passive functions on the north side. So the utilities would obviously be on the north side.
All right, thank you. At this point, we'll be taking public comments. I have, there have been a number of letters which the board has received, if I'm not mistaken, including one that was delivered just recently before we met. But I do have one speaker slip. We have two speaker slips. Thank you. So the first speaker slip will be Mr. Jack Hawkshurst.
Okay. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. I can narrow down my comments to a discussion of Table 3, which intrigued me fairly extensively. It purports to show total land area, FAR, a couple of FARs, and in a percent change from what it takes. Well, let's take the first house. It says that the current FAR is 3,417 square feet, and it's a 7% change to 4,586 square feet. What that concerns me is that's like a 40% change. And these are all consistent. They're all about 7 to 10%, 5%. So maybe I don't understand what's going on with this table, or maybe I do. I'm not sure. But none. The 7% change would take it to 3605. It's just a couple of hundred square feet. So I'm not sure what we're looking at here and why these aren't the FARs that they're said to be. If these are really all like 40% higher, well, then you have a very big issue. That was what we discussed at the last meeting. And I'm anxious to hear your resolution of this. It shouldn't be that complicated. I don't know what else I should say, but 7% and 40% are different, if I'm understanding this table. I could live with 7% extra, but I really have a very difficult time living with 40% extra. So maybe I don't understand what's going on here. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker slip is for Mr. Richard Poole.
Ladies and gentlemen, I live at 5779 Stowe Canyon Road, which is two houses down from this major parcel in here. I purchased the house about 30 years ago. The lot and the subdivision that was there and existing at that time. They're nice big lots. It's a beautiful place. The last time it was here, my wife has subsequently passed away, but when she was alive, she wanted to be the first in line to get one of these nice houses up on the hill there, to do it. It would be a great thing. It's been a gated community. It is gated. It has been well maintained over the last 30 years. The weeds get cut and the street gets paved and so on. So it's been a real asset to the area in there. And certainly to have someone come in and build, see, my house is one of the smaller ones is probably only about 2,400 square feet, but I got a three-car garage, and that counts against me. Although I can't convert it into a living quarter, it counted against me when I tried to enlarge my house, and Mr. Hawkhurst was able to stop me at that, too. But anyway, I am supportive of this. I think it would be a great asset to our community in that area there. It can't really block the mountain views because there's too many tall trees from my house looking at the mountains to start with, so maybe the trees need to be cut down so I can see the mountain. I'm not sure who has the right to see the mountain from where. Anyway, I'm very supportive of this, and I'd like to see it go forward and get some young people in our community. We've got a wonderful school. We need the help, and the school needs to be supported. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I got a question for staff. I know this is going to sound, well, not having a calculator with me. I'm assuming that the math is correct on here on table number 3, where we give the net lot area and then the subsequent proposed FAR and the recommended FAR, that those are, that the math all pencils out.
Right. So the recommended floor area that's listed there is based on specific calculations in the FAR guidelines, Appendix E, that I referenced earlier, that relate to the size of the lot, the net size of the lot. And then what else I put on there was just the net size of the lot and then the proposed floor area based on how Appendix E instructs you to calculate floor area. And then the last column is what percent above the recommended each one is. Yeah.
Carl?
Okay, let's see if we can get to the bottom of this. So what you did was in column 1, 2, 3, 4, recommended floor area, which is straight from table, well, Appendix C, right?
Correct.
Basically gives us what the city was shooting for, right, in terms of how big a house should be on the lot.
Correct? That's the recommended floor area.
Recommended. And it's recommended, so it's kind of just a guideline to some
right.
level.
Mm-hmm. And so,
and then you took the proposed floor areas and figured out what their FAR would be. And so let's just take lot one, for instance. The recommended was based on a 23% of the net lot area, but the proposed is at 30, and that gets you the 7% difference, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
Okay. The problem I have with that, which somewhat speaks to what Jack is saying, is I would argue that if what we really want to be doing is taking that column of recommended floor area, so that 23% is what we're shooting for, so that becomes, I'm not sure I'm going to state this correctly, but that becomes 100% because that's what, I don't know how to state this. Basically, based upon the, if that's the recommended, the proposed is 1,169 square feet over that, and that comes out to a 34% increase in house size. Okay? And if you do that the whole way down, you get some that are as much, one that's as much as 40, and down to as low as 18 based upon that mm-hmm. calculation. For what that's worth.
Aaron, any questions? Oh, before I go there, I don't know how we're going to do this because on the one hand, this is all, like Carl was saying, this is all presented in one, as one concept with 12 lots. And this, in the staff report, talks about it like on a case-by-case basis. So are we going to tackle this in toto, or are we going to do this one house at a time, or how are we going to do this? I would not want to do one house at a time, frankly. That's not my choice.
From staff's perspective, it's, you know, to the board's pleasure, but we did collect 12 yeah. separate right. cases, as yeah. I mentioned before. So right. to us, it doesn't really matter for what time.
Well, it's
if you wanted to chunk it out into, you know, the ones along Dara, for instance, that could be a good place to start, or the ones that are visible from the right of way. So that would include lots 1 and 8, along with the ones on Dara.
Well, let's go with this in toto for right now.
Okay.
Okay, Aaron, do you have any questions?
Question on the Dara Street, the three lots here. What was the underlying design decision to make, you know, using very similar designs for those three lots rather than more variation?
The reason is because the intent is to not have garages to the street with a three-car garage requirement. So when we do the turn-in garages, it created a motor court which drove the bulk of the house more than 50 feet from the property line. That gave us the opportunity to treat the garages uniquely and develop a floor plan that had economies in it because it was a consistent footprint. So orienting the living portions of the house towards the sunny exposure, developing passive loading of parts of the house here and creating as tight a setback as possible here, then gave privacy to these outdoor areas. So in principle, by the time you get back to here and landscaping in front of these elements, this portion of the house, as seen from the public way, is inconsequential to the pieces forward. And it, to me, gave better living conditions for each of these to have a sunny exposure and a larger perceived backyard.
All right, my first question was for staff, actually. Examples are given of developments that are above FAR. Are there examples we could get of ones that are at or below, just to have the point counterpoint?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I if I had had unlimited time, I probably could have canvassed the entire city and gotten some stats for you. But, you know, our permit records are still in paper form or microfiche form, so it's not an easy task. My goal with using the two subdivisions that I did use was that they were, it's more of a contemporary design. As you know, most of the examples we would have in this town were built, you know, in the 50s or 60s or 70s, which, as we all know, those types of developments don't really happen anymore these days. So the two that I chose were developed in, you know, in the last 20 years, which, you know, is represents a more contemporary style and would be more similar to, or more analogous, I guess, to what's proposed here.
So your point is that basically everything, every contemporary project has been over the FAR. That's the point you're trying to make?
I haven't looked at that data, so that's not what I'm saying. It's just okay. The two that I used were. Yes.
And... yeah, which may be a relevant sample. They were just picked at random.
So the two, I picked them because they're more contemporary and built within the last 20 years.
Sure,
like I
sure.
said. Also, you know, I tried to choose home types within those developments that represents each
that
of the
analogous to this.
Right, and represents one of each home type within that subdivision. You know, so I didn't choose all the same home type. I varied the version of the home and the lot size in my samples. So I think, you know, it comes down to, you know, time, obviously, but also some of the older developments, the data just simply, the relevant data that we need for our current FARs doesn't exist.
No, and stuff older than 20 years, I understand why you didn't go into that.
Right.
That makes perfect sense to me. So for the applicant, I guess the repeating footprint is a concern, and to that, I just have a question about getting story poles, because I'm having a little trouble understanding what are the differences, and there may be substantial ones, and looking at the paper only goes so far. And we mentioned story poles last time, so just wondered when we might see those.
Can I speak to that? This was mentioned, I guess, at the last hearing at which I wasn't present, and they're very costly to erect, and Mr. McCallion does not want to have to do that. He feels is burdensome. But let me speak a little bit about the compatibility issue. I know you're looking at numbers and percentages, and you can get sort of dazed and confused by them, frankly. And there are some inconsistencies as to whether garages are counted or the square footage over or under and so on. And so the numbers are imprecise, in my view. What does seem to be important to me in terms of compatibility is that we've got 60 neighbors who have all said they like this design and this project. And also, we have to recognize that, as Brian has stated, most of the houses in that area were built 50 years ago. That's a different era. We're in a much different era, and these houses are designed to represent what the market today demands. Thank you.
No, and I appreciate that point. And actually, from your petition for and one that was submitted against, I just took the first two lines, and those that are against have the largest homes, or your neighbors with the largest homes, and the ones that are for are from the smaller homes. So that would seem to speak to some point that, yeah, the neighbors have thought about this and have made their comment, obviously. So my first question then is gray water. Has that been looked at?
That's a part of our planning, you know, and it's not on these plans because we don't have a landscape architect involved just yet, and that would be on their part of their discipline.
Okay, just that's going to be a key point for me. Just, you know, we all are neighbors. We're all living on the same water supply or lack thereof, and that's one easy way to extend that supply. And also how you're dealing with stormwater and permeable paving, that's something I want to hear more about, and PV as well. And then based on our comments from conceptual review, could you just walk us through any changes that were made given our comments from last time?
I think Aaron brought up a question the last time about the orientation of the plans, why they all had the garages to the north. And as I looked at switching one of these to provide some variety to the street within the string of three, it seemed to me that as one plan would look into to the backside of the other, once I flipped it and I had these two cupped like that it would take away the privacy, which I thought was really critical in a small lot subdivision like this. And so that was one of the things that was a consideration as we looked forward on this.
That's the end of my questions for now.
I'm gonna just comment on the water. So when the water plan happens, I'm not seeing, even though it's presented as an entirety, I'm not seeing a water plan or some sort of grading that's gonna account for. Right now, everyone's runs off into everybody else's, and there's swales coming through houses and things like that. So those would be a concern for me. Was this the question part? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I apologize. That was a comment. I'll hold off until it is comment moment.
Sure. My comments teared off to Mr. Kimmel, right? I get confused by numbers, and they're so abstract, and I just don't understand all those abstractions. So I have two questions, one for Member Schneider. Could you rephrase your comment in 25 words or less of the point that you're trying to make?
No.
30?
Let me, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you understand?
Yeah.
Go for it.
So I was confused by this, too, and looked at it. So what I think Carl was trying to say is it's 7% of the lot size, and lot one, 34% increase above the recommended floor area size. So it's two percentages of two different numbers.
Correct.
Both That's coming true, to the right. same proposed
yeah.
floor He's, area.
Yes. His column of percentage above FAR is based upon above lot size. And I would argue that it needs to be based upon house size, which gets me to my 34 to whatever.
Right. I had a feeling it was somewhere in that area. I still haven't got a grasp of it. So my question goes to staff. Would it be fair then to add another column that would calculate this in a different way to address the public comment and those on the board?
The if you've looked at Appendix E, it actually doesn't deal with percentages at all. So the reason I put percentages on there is just another way to look at it. There's the phrase, there's a number of ways to skin a cat. I tried to simplify this table as much as possible. So sure, you could add the columns,
yes.
But, well, you'd run out of width on the page. But you could make two different tables. But the point is, you know, yes, there are a couple of different ways to look at it. Yeah, so I chose this way as the...
It's really not the percentages above that interests me. It's the way of calculation that interests me.
Well, I would argue then the column that we are in need of and missing is literally one of the square footage over the recommended FER area and not do a percentage, literally just do the square footage, right?
Yeah, I mean, that data is there. It's just you'd
right.
have to calculate
yeah,
it.
Calculate,
yeah.
Right.
Well, so,
but the approved method that the city uses, which is part of Appendix E, is not looking at the difference between what's proposed and what the maximum FAR or the recommended FAR. But it all goes back to percentage of the lot area,
right.
And I think I mean we can. I mean, it's good to have, but I think we.
So this discussion is good to have.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exactly why there's the provision in Appendix E that says that guidelines are to be considered on a case-by-case basis with input from DRB and staff in examples that exceed the FAR. So, you know, the intent of Appendix E was that if there is a project that is exceeding the guidelines, then, you know, then we need further discussion from the board. And so I think tying it into the DRB's findings, you know, we have Appendix E that's attached to the zoning ordinance and is helpful, but the challenge of the board is also going to be tying your comments on FAR to one or more of your findings. And in this case, for this would be in the neighborhood compatibility section of the findings, and so everything from size, bulk, and scale, you know, that's how you tie it into what you guys are looking at. Yeah.
And I got one question that I need for the architect, and that involves house number 8, the house on lot 8, which would be on page 31, and I see that the front elevation is done up in that coastal ranch motif, but the front elevation doesn't match the other elevations, and so I would like a bit of clarification as to what's going on. It's more than just the front is one kind of material and the right elevation is the side. I mean, the front elevation shows a covered porch that's, I assume, is a gable roofed with a little bit of a parapet on the gable end and kind of wood framed. But if you look at that from the other side, this is definitely Italian. And it's got a formal arch with moldings and an entablature. And
so the side elevation matches the first plan of that plan type. Uh-huh. Then this is a front elevation, which is a variant. But the principal part of the back portion of the house is the same. And what isn't picked up on this is what you noted, which is this porch belongs to the neighboring lot. Yeah. So it's just a matter of moving that forward. But at this preliminary review, yeah. I just wanted to talk about size, bulk, and scale, materials, and general aesthetic approach.
All right. Well, that's in the general aesthetic approach. That was my concern, because you can't very well do something that has a nice coastal ranch front but a Italian Renaissance side.
That's exactly right. I wouldn't
so
do that.
So that's why I just wanted some clarification. I know. I assumed it was a typo. That's why I was asking what the correct side elevation there was supposed to be. That was the point of my question. Anyways. I guess we're going to go to...
I have one more question.
Questions, okay.
Do we have water from Goleta Water? Are they willing to provide water to the property?
Yes, there was an allocation and meters issued a long time ago.
So meters are in for all 12 lots? Okay.
Okay, we're done with questions. We'll go with comments, so I'll start from the opposite end. I'll start with Member Whalen.
Well, I have to commend the architect, Mr. Jewell, on his on his ability to personalize each one of them. As I looked through, I didn't look through all of them, but I especially looked through 9, 10, and 11, and their variation is commendable, that you've been able to take what looks to be sort of a cookie cutter mirror images on plan, and with the variations in topography and your delineations to be quite attractive. I find the package to be very nicely done.
I would also like to second that. Your drawings are really nice.
Thank you.
I like the handwriting. It's pretty. My concerns are with the landscaping, the oaks in the back, and your plan for how you're going to keep those roots. There's also sloughing that's happening onto the public park there. So your water plan is going to have to encompass all those things. Those are my big concerns. The gray water and the photovoltaic cells as well. Okay. All those ones, yeah.
And my comments, I am having a little trouble understanding the variances based on the plans, and partly for the reason Tom just brought up. So getting some more clarification would be appreciated. And I do have a concern about going above the FAR this much, just so you know.
I think the architecture is very nice. And as far as the variation on lot 9 through 11, I think you've done that in some respects. I think there could be maybe more. Maybe that's just colors, materials. But your explanation of why the three floor plans in a row makes sense to me. Some of the interior homes feel a little big to me. Lot 4, it's a nice home. I just feel it's a little bulky. I look forward to seeing the grading plan, the landscape plans, all that stuff. One thing we didn't talk about is what do you imagine this entry looking like?
There's an existing site wall there along with a gate, and as a civil engineer and landscape architect, weigh in on those elements, of those questions will be clearer.
Okay.
I don't know where to start. Let's start. First off, let me say, I'm looking at this as two different projects. One, the cul-de-sac, and then the Dar Road ones, okay? And you're almost there architecturally. Except I don't know why you did. I think there's some that shows up on this that doesn't need to. And I also appreciate what the styles you've done. I think the, whatever you want to call it, Italian, Mediterranean, whatever, works well here. And I think that, quote, coastal California works well on Dara. I would agree with Dennis in that you've done a fairly good job of taking the cookie cutter approach to the floor plan and trying to disguise that to some level. So I appreciate that. I think more could be done here maybe, and maybe that's just in developing as you go. So, that being said.
Carl, can you clarify that last one? Sorry, I missed what you were pointing at. More can be done where?
On along Dara.
In what
to
respect?
Distinguish the houses. They're the same. These three are the same floor plan.
Thank you.
Right. I always learn something. I didn't know there was a way to change the front yard setback like we did. That's cool.
Can I get a further clarification on that, too?
On what?
The Dar Road.
Yeah, when you said you appreciated what he had done on Dar Road.
Architecturally.
Architecturally, and you said you could extend it further further down the design process, is that what you said? Or are you saying to change the houses or just do better when you're articulating the houses to try to make them look different?
He needs to try to make them look more different.
Okay. But you're not saying change the houses?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
Yet. Okay. I think we could get into the whole FAR thing. I think my problem is one of just size, bulk, and scale because we've exceeded that FAR on every lot. Not that we need to hit it or that we need to get close, but it just seems to me, and particularly, so the lots, let me back up. The lots that are of concern to me are the ones that face the public. So I would say 1, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, I would argue need to somehow get down closer to the FAR because they're trying to fit into the existing neighborhood, so to speak. Once you get past these two, so lots 2 through 7, I'm, at least from my standpoint, I'm going to have a little more, allow you more flexibility to exceed the FAR back there just because you're not sensing it on the street, okay? I would argue that while the Bluffs was approved as a city project, I believe the Crown Collection was done during the county.
Yeah. Just before incorporation.
And it's a really bad example. So while your legal team may want to bring it up, from my point of view, I'm going to tell you that that's not something that we want to recreate inside the city of Goleta. So that being said, let me see what else I've got here. I'm worried about and the grading and when you get your civil engineer involved, I'm a little worried that you're going up so far because from here, I mean, we're going up like 7 or 8 feet in this 20 or 30 feet and trying to turn into a garage. I am concerned that the driveways actually work along Dara. on those lots. But again, you'll get to the civil engineer, and hopefully he'll figure that out for you. Originally, I was kind of against the whole idea of taking that cookie-cutter approach to all of those lots. That's what you want to build. I think you can architecturally probably distinguish them, so I guess I'm not going to be against that per se. I think it's, like I said, I think it's more important to try to do that along Dara and here. The one thing that we are missing is where all the oak trees are. I think there's a couple of really big ones here on Lot 1. There's some here along the southern property of Lot 8, but they may be literally on the adjoining property. Not sure. Still, even if, and then I'm not sure where there, I think there's some, on there. So we just need to document those at some point and go. Back to the story poll question. I would argue that we would need to see Lot 1 to some level, and we'll need to talk about specifically how far we have to go, because obviously we don't need to do the whole house. But Lot 1 would be pertinent to me, Lot 8, and Lot 5, and then one of these lots along Dara, so let's just say 10. Somehow being able to see enough of that house in story pole so we can get a sense of what's happening. And the reason I'm doing this one, because it's the highest one, and so we'll get a sense of what gets, if anything at all, gets blocked from the street. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give or take
mm-hmm.
a little bit is what I would be looking for. And then I think the confusion that Tom was just bringing up on Lot 8, I would argue you need to change this whole character more towards this Mediterranean Italian, get rid of the board and bat, and save that for your use along Dara. Okay? And then the other thing that'll happen is you'll have, you know, clay barrel tile on these houses, and you'll have probably flat concrete tile on the ones along Dar. And yeah, so architecturally, I think I'm on board. Obviously, we're a ways away yet. I don't know when you're going to get into getting a grading and drainage plan set and landscape, but at some point, you're going to have to go there. I don't know if I was clear enough on so relative to back to the mass bulk and scale, I guess where I'm trying to get to conceptually is address the one to, you know, the houses that literally face onto a public street, and get those down in size somehow closer to the recommended FAR guideline. And again, the ones up there, at least from my standpoint, I don't have an issue with. That's all I got for now.
Good.
Okay.
Is it okay to ask a question now?
No, we're still doing comments.
Okay.
I haven't commented yet. This has been through quite a bit, but I do have to agree with just about all my colleagues here. We do need to see what's going to be happening with the landscaping and the existing trees, some kind of civil engineering, erosion control, you know, that, and of course colors and materials are going to be a big thing. I also, initially I wasn't really wild about the lack of what I first thought was the lack of variety when I first got the plans in the mail, start looking at them. But upon further looking at them, I got to agree. I got to commend the architect in doing a very nice job in changing them enough so that they do look good. I wasn't happy with the fact that there were no. I didn't know if the story poles had been put up and taken down or what. I had, visited the site and driven by it at different points in time, and I had not seen any. And the story poles are going to be important because determining mass, bulk, and scale and all that stuff, you can't really adequately determine that by using raw numbers, or just using the numbers. Because right now, we can even see now from discussing this, there is the way that's written down in the zoning ordinance that the city has for determining the guidelines. And that's what we've been given here in the packet from staff. And it would be a hassle, it'd be a burden to do every single home. So I agree with Carl. I think the houses across the front, lots 1, 8, and 9, or maybe not 9, they're like, I'll go with him and say 10. But certainly the front two on the cul-de-sac, and possibly the highest one, I'm not that concerned about the one back there because it's the farthest away from the public street. And as the one speaker who was up here talking, there's a lot of high trees in the background there as well. But certainly up close, where it abuts the rest of the neighborhood, I think it would really be useful to have story poles there. I also agree with, and I forget which one of our members mentioned that, the lots along Dara Road, 9, 10, 11, and 12. On 9, 10, and 11, again, the coastal, California coastal, it's a great choice. I think that fits well with the neighborhood. I think it'll be an improvement to the neighborhood. I would encourage you to look at that a little bit more and to see if there's some additional extra you can do, not changing the floor plan, but just working with the details and materials and colors to really keep going down the path you're going, because I think that's a good path. And that's pretty much my comments as well.
Just a couple of questions.
I mean, it looks like you're asking for story poles on a few lots. We're capable of producing a 3D AutoCAD rendering where this shows you could ask for any vantage points you want, and we could produce that. It's more realistic than story poles. You could turn it around. We could bring it live if you want, so you could look at the project from different angles. It's more cost effective for us to produce that than it is to put up the story poles.
May I also say, lot number 8 is not visible to street.
This is a house there.
Right. There are trees. There's a high trees. You cannot even see it. And it's very difficult to try to see this lot because the front of it is very narrow and the back is not visible to the street. Also, lot number 1, if you look at it, if you see the left side of the house is going to be visible to the street, which is much narrower than the front. Therefore, even if you, let's say that if you decided to look at the bulk and size, these homes, since they have elevation going up, it basically you will be seeing this home if you try to change any part of the left elevation. Going back to Dara Road, you notice that the majority of the house, the mass of the house, is situated far away from the street. So most part that you can see is this narrow area and what you see in here, garage. The rest of the area is sitting way back. So that's basically, if you're really concerned about how it's going to look. You were concerned about trees. I don't believe, except there's going to be one tree in here that we have to remove. The rest of the tree in here is going to be reminders. There's an old tree in here that we are going to, you know, I've been taking care of it since I moved in here, since 40 years ago. So I like trees, I plant trees, and I don't think that you should be worried about the trees. I'm sorry, you mentioned something about the grading for the water flow. The subdivision was graded specifically for each lot to run to the street. So there is a grading for the subdivision that these lots, they don't interfere with each other, and there is a grading for the path when you're building the houses. So I can let you know that they did consider that and we did do the grading.
So do you have another grading plan than this one?
The grading that we have done already, that grading does take care of the drainage that these lots, they don't drain in into each other. That was already done by the county and it was approved by the San Barbara County. So we have that done. However,
but I think the point is, will your construction change any of that, or will it still grade?
Well, yep. And also the state has changed their stormwater requirements. I don't know exactly when, but let's just say sometime in the last 5 years.
Yes.
And they've gotten much more strict. Now, these lots may be small enough to where that doesn't kick in, but it could easily kick in just based upon lot size or whatever. So I don't, while I understand at the time this was all approved, you probably had some pads built, and that was all approved by the county. Because you're coming back in now and doing the building, you're going to have to go back through that.
Carl, I am sorry, you're correct. I wasn't asking about the path area. I'm just saying that when we did the subdivision, part of the flood control was that you have to grade the property, which we did, that each lot runs directly to the public streets or private streets.
Right, and I understand that, except now the rule is you got to keep all your water on site.
I understand.
So you can fight with someone else about that. That's not me.
You also mentioned about saving water. I have volunteered in past when the water was, when the reservoir was full of water, I basically allow them to go ahead and recharge the basin by, there is already pipe connected to my well, so when we have a charge over the Kuchuma, they basically turn the meter on and the water goes in the well and recharge the whole. So I am really doing more than most people that have done. So
is there something else you want to tell
me? Are you saying you have a recharge well on your property?
Oh, absolutely.
Can, yeah.
There is one of them is located right here.
We're just going to need to know, document that, and probably more. It's not a concern of ours, but I just want to be able to document it.
Well, it's documented by the County of Santa Barbara and the
Goleta Water District. I presume.
Yeah, they have them. They have them.
Okay, that's fine. That's great.
Carl, I know that you appreciate that you don't like the project that, I mean, I do listen to you. I know that you don't like the Crown collection. But I also want you to know that the Crown Collection, if you look at it carefully, there are 8,400 square foot lots, and the houses, they are over 4,000 square foot. These lots, they are by far much larger than 8,000 square foot. So that's one. And the Bluff is another project that I have actually right in here. I have all these numbers in here. On a 8,490 square foot, they have 4,141. So what I'm trying to go back to is what you mentioned, that you don't like that, and we are not trying to do it. But the fact is, if you're going to use compatible to the Goleta, these are part of the history that exists in here. And I really appreciate what you're trying to say. So the same way that you're trying to compare to the neighborhood area, Well, Carl, those neighborhood areas, they were not designed by you or by us or by Design Review Board. They were just basically, they put it out. So I think that what we are doing with the sizes, I indicated in my letter, if you read them, these homes, they are designed for the particular reason, and that is that the public today, they need square footage. They really do. As I hope that you read my letter, and if I encourage you to read it again. Me and Brett and my team, we work very hard to find out what is it that the public is looking for. And I can assure you one thing. They would like larger places. And I know that you're concerned, but you also have to consider that the neighbors that they live in this area, across the street, they all signed. Across the street, they all signed. So you have to consider the neighbors, and I appreciate, I like you a lot, by the way. You're a very smart man. But you also do have to understand that the neighbors...
You're one of few.
No, it's okay. You're a smart man. You're just making issues, but there is some issues that it responds to what you have mentioned. I'm glad that everybody's listening. 60 of my neighbors, they said we lack exactly what you have. And furthermore, my architect, he mentioned something about let's just do this, some things that it would be calming everybody down, which we did. We designed the one that you like. But if you look at in some of the petitions, the people they sign, they actually rather to have this type of design than the farm type of homes. So I spend about, honestly, that's the truth, I spend anywhere between half an hour to 1 hour with every homeowner in the neighborhood. So it wasn't something I just went out and said, sign this. They came, they look at the plan, and I spent close to about over 60 to 80 hours to get this petition. And I can assure you, he's gone, too bad. I can assure you that everyone that I went to talk to, they took me to their house, they look at the design, they asked me question after question. So I appreciate it, Carl, that you consider one thing very important. The neighbors, they like what I'm doing. And I hope, I really hope that you consider that the new homes today, it is what I am putting up in here. And, you mentioned that those table three that you look at it, if you look at really, for instance, lot number 12, if you look at the table 12, you will notice that it's a 3,900 square foot. Well, the house is originally, if you look at the house is only about 33,700 square foot, 3,370 square foot. So where's the square footage comes from? Because we are creating a space in the garage, so people, they would not do this, Carl. I'd like you all to see this.
Put it on the table.
No, it's the truth.
Set it down.
No, please. This is it. Okay, this is one. This is one of my. I have some more. Can I tap to your end? By the way, Mr. Hoxer said he's so adamant about this thing. This is his house. Look at where he's parking his car. I just want you to see that. This is the man that he talks about the square footage. This is the man that talks about the square footage, but yet, there's one car in here, there's a convertible car in the back too, and there's a third car in here. This is inside the garage how people they use it. This is another one, Shuffler, that they didn't show up, that's how they park their car.
Slide it down.
Okay. This is another design, this is next to Mr. Hoxer's. So look at the way that this house it is. One, two, three, four, and look at these are permanent. They never use the garage since I've been there for 70 years. So, Carl, if me and you, we're sitting and talking to each other, and you said, look at Carl, people, they need space. Here is another in my neighborhood. This is supposed to be a garage. There is no garage. They made it to be a room in there. So there is actually more pictures that I don't want to bore you with, and this is I'm trying to help you out. But the fact is, I'm going to be short right now. The fact is, this design wasn't just because we wanted to. And I appreciate what you're trying to do. But I really appreciate to give a tremendous thought about the people. And those are the neighbors. I mean, you don't even live in my neighborhood, and I understand that. But if you look at the neighbors that they live there, and they have seen what I'm doing, they said, we want what you do. We've got over 60 people. They said, go and do what you're doing. We love it. So please consider those things. I appreciate that.
Okay. I want to get back to Debs, and I don't know. Question about
I think her cell just
versus story polls versus issue, right?
May I say this before you go? Last time that I did a story poll, it was very difficult. And you read my documents. They didn't even bother to come in, and it didn't make any difference. And you were there last time when I did the story poll. I did put the story poll there, and basically, we are, if you want to really consider this, this is very important. We are already, at the time, if you remember, Carl, the height was 35 feet. So when I was doing this project earlier, it was 35 feet, and I came with 27 feet, and they said, no, we don't want it. I said, well, this is what it is. So they forced me to put a story pole, and we went to 25 and a half feet. And it's still, they tried to play the game. Today, we are at 22 and a half feet. So whether we put a story pole or not, it's going to be a two-story. What can I do? I appreciate your...
Are you the one to jump in, I guess, with the question?
I was just listening. But I did want to make a note that we do not have a procedure in the code about story poles. We need to have site-specific design or massing determinations or views, and I think a computer version based on the story polls that we've had for other projects in the city may be a more effective version to show you what's happening on the lot. The last few story poll projects that did go up, I don't think those story polls were a very effective way of showing the overall massing without spending $100,000 per story poll site, which just isn't possible. So.
You can't do that?
I'm broke. Yeah, I'm broke, seriously.
So I think that answers the question, because I think I'd be good with it. So if everybody, unless somebody on the board is against it, I'd say we go with the computer.
I would like to chime in here a little bit. I actually would rather, now I don't know the relative cost between computer animation and doing story polls. And I'm not asking for it because I'm against second floors. As a matter of fact, that was one of the questions the city council put to me when I was first interviewed, when I volunteered to be on this board. And my answer to them was, it's just a case-by-case basis with me. I'm not just against stuff. So the reason why I'm asking this is because we can get bogged down going back and forth with square footages and percentages over FAR or percentage of change from what was originally. And I've always had an easier time visualizing how it's going to look by seeing at least a ridgeline. I'm not asking for the whole thing to be, you know, like a wireframe of the house. But it, to me, it's much easier. And even if it's hidden, even if but at least it proves, you can say, see, nobody sees it. There it is. Okay, so it's obvious. Because I hear a little bit of concern from the other board members about the size, maybe a little uncomfortable with it, but I totally get too that the FARs are recommended. They're not cast in stone. They're not chiseled on Mount Sinai or something. It's a recommendation, and I get that these are, with one exception, these are all in single digits, but. But anyways, this is just my own opinion. If we get computer simulation, okay, we get computer simulation. I have a harder time, based on previous projects we've had, with computer simulation, looking at what it's going to do, than I do with just being on the site and just looking at a story poll. So.
I agree with Tom, and I know you talked about four lots being story pulled. I'd be comfortable with just two, maybe lot 1 and 10 or something. So, and just the ridge line, not the whole house.
I think I could handle lots 1 and 10 and just the ridge line as well, and seeing CAD for the rest.
So that being said,
my question is, these other, the bluffs at Sandpiper and the Crown Collection, did they put up story poles? Were they asked to do so by the board?
One of them predates
the one of them predates the board. So the bluffs would be the only one since that time.
I believe the bluffs did. I believe the bluffs, if I remember correctly, had to do, can I see your site plan?
It was site plan.
The bluffs.
Yep. I believe they had to do, because at the time they did it, they actually had some homes over here on the other side of the entry road.
Okay.
They did one or two houses there, they did one or two houses here, I believe, at the time. In the end, they moved those houses elsewhere on the property, so they ended up going away. But,
and was that due to the storyboard?
No, it had nothing to do with this.
Okay. They just moved them.
They just moved the houses. I don't know about the Crown Collection. That was pre-city.
Pre-city, okay.
I actually saw both projects building because I was always interested to see what they do. I did not see a Crown Collection doing that, and I've been here since 1967, so I know the whole town very well. And honestly, I don't remember. If you've seen it, I will grant you that, but I did not see the bluff.
Yeah, I know the bluffs.
Okay. I used to go to, okay. So is it possible? Did you ask them this part? It's much easier. Now, if you guys are looking for putting two posts up, I will go and try to see if I can do that for you guys. If this is what you're looking, basically, if you're looking to see this, I mean, if it's concerning from the street, I would be happy to put in, to show what you're able to see from this side. And this one is basically the height in here. What's the height in here? We are in 12 foot on the first story, right?
It's shown on the elevations, but I think it's irrelevant at this point.
Okay.
I'd rather see the computer simulation than, because I think that would be acceptable in my mind.
Thank you. Maybe you can twist Tom's wrist a little bit.
I think a good 3D graphic stimulus.
You know, I would argue the one point against it, and saying that we want to put up story poles, as soon as you put up story poles, everybody in the neighborhood realizes what's going on. Not that you haven't already been there, done that.
Yeah.
But it just becomes a way of making sure everybody in the neighborhood knows what's going on. But I'm still on board for the computer issue.
We could show them the computer simulation.
Yeah.
Okay. We also, I'm really planning to put kind of a high trim. What do you call that? The edge. Yeah. In this area, definitely, because the whole property in here, Tom, it's really hidden from the public. As a matter of fact, if any of you knows Margaret Connell, she actually was going to approve this project lot number 2 when you were there. And the only thing that it was that we were at 25 and a half feet, we were at 27 and a half, and we came to 25, and still she wanted to go ahead and reduce it. And at one point she said, why don't you dig this lot and go down 3 feet? And I said, how do you drain the water when it rains? So that's your problem.
I suppose I could live with a computer simulation. This thing keeps up some feedback.
The benefit you'll get from it is,
I've always been kind of a be there on the site and look at it and, you know, up close type of person, but. Maybe that's just because I'm me. So I suppose I could live with a good computer animation. You know, and not one of these like flyby things that just zips through and, you know, that we can look at. Okay.
Okay, let's get it done.
So do we have anybody want to try and make a motion on this?
Yeah. I've got one more question for staff, just to clarify. In Table 3, Paragraph 2, it says that the FAR, you know, the proposed floor plans are excluding the garages. That's correct?
Yeah, so it's excluding the garages up to 650 square feet. So basically, think of it, it's kind of a combination. It's essentially you start down the path of calculating net square footage of the house, but then you take out 650 square feet of it as an allowance for the garage. What portions of the garage that's proposed that exceed that 650 square feet get added to the dwelling square footage, which is enumerated on each of
the so lot one, for instance, rounded to 4,600 square feet. That's any square footage over 650 in the garage is included there.
Right.
And the remainder is not.
Correct. Yeah. And that's shown on, like, each lot. It's right.
That's what I understood originally. Yeah. It's just with all the back and forth.
Ken
I just
kind of
wanted to double,
thing.
Triple check.
And this is why I tried to simplify
this
that.
Is exactly what he just mentioned. That was exactly what was my point was. If you look at lot number 12, the square footage of lot number 12 is 3,370 square foot. But if you look at on the table 3, lot number 12, you have 3,900 something. So the house is not that big. It's the excess garage area that we created so people they can use for parking. And Brian can go ahead and verify that. So if you look at the plans that we have in here, the plan shows that the house is 3,370 square foot. So the additional number that you see there is not the house, is the excess area of the garage that it was over 650.
Yeah, so basically the excess area that's over 650, you have to count towards the house square footage at that point in terms of FAR. But right. In terms of how the floor plan sits on the lot, it's still, you know.
So the difference, the 3,370 square feet on lot 12.
3,370 square foot. As a matter of fact, you have it in your plan. If you look at it, you will find out that the house is much smaller than what the table 3 is showing because it does include excess garage area that we created for exactly what I just was mentioning to you.
Right. So I just since this is such a point, I want to be very clear I understand it. So, again, for rounding sake, it's call it 3,400 square feet. Mm-hmm. You're listing it, Brian, as 3,900. That 500 square foot difference is 650 plus 500 for an 1,150-foot garage.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yep. Just
so
wanted to.
Again, if I had unlimited space on this page, I could have put an extra column that said, house square footage, garage square footage, net difference, and then. But I just let the plans stay for what they are.
Yeah. To clarify. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, in your staff report, you have three. Potential DRB actions. One is to approve with findings, which it doesn't sound like you're quite ready to do that. And then the other is to continue with specific comments, and you can actually continue to a date certain if you would like to do that with the comments.
My choice at this point would be to continue with comments, because I don't think we have a lot of comments to put on this. So, do I frame the motion? I'm waiting for someone. I mean, can.
It's up to you. You can ask for a motion.
Okay, well, I would like to make a motion then for continuance that the board generally approves of the architecture and design of the dwellings, but that we would like to see the applicant come back with a 3D simulation. And landscaping plan, and also denoting colors and materials for the proposed houses. Is there a second or
Can I ask a point of clarification on the motion? A couple of the board members had mentioned wanting to see, we'll call it precise grading.
Drainage.
And
but I was under the impression that because they already had the grading plan, they've already done, that would be more so. I'm assuming anything additional to that, like with stormwater handling and all that, would come under landscaping.
Okay, just wanted to make that clear. Okay. And so then, you know, any aesthetic portion of the grading you'd want to see with along with the landscaping plan.
Yeah. I mean, I still have some concern about some of the driveways, particularly the ones off Dara working, and that will only be shown on a grading plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if it doesn't work, I don't want to approve something that doesn't work and then get down the road and then they're back to us making changes. So I think it's important at this point that you get a civil on board, have him address not only the stormwater but those driveway areas and make sure that what he's working with and designing is going to work.
And this is not... We're not asking over and above what we've asked of anybody else doing a development like this. Usually by the time they get to design approval, they've got a civil engineer on board, and we're looking at the plan to show this. So I would like to include that as one of the things we would like to look for.
Tom, I'm sorry. I appreciate what you're saying. Last time I went in front of the design review board, we spent a lot of time and money and also civil engineering, and then after the project was approved, it got denied, and I lost all the money that I put into it. So I do understand you, and I will follow your rules, but I just want to let you know that it's important for me to know that the direction we are going, you're kind of satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're satisfied, of course, I'm going to follow your...
Absolutely. Well, this is why when I made the motion, I was saying that we make the finding that the board approves of, approves of the design and architecture of the buildings, then with the following comments that we had, which was the landscaping and grading, noting out the colors and the materials, a 3D computer, simulation, and that the applicant re-examine the elevations of lots 9, 10, and 11 and see if there's any way they can add more distinction without having to alter the floor plan.
I'll second that. Under discussion, I'd like to know what we're going to get as far as this simulation. Are we going to get all six of these homes, or I mean five of these homes, or just these three, or?
We've already actually started a 3D simulation. Oh, is it on?
No.
Press it.
That's when,
brighter.
Yeah, we have actually already started a 3D simulation. As you know, it takes some effort to take all the elevations and paste them on every single house. So we do have basically a wireframe at this point. And my recommendation that would be the lots that you talked about in terms of the story poles, that we could finish those off. So you could tilt the model, you could look at it from different perspectives, you could look at it from the neighbor's house across the street, you can do whatever you want with it. It's like you're actually looking at the house, not just a story pole. But instead of doing the entire subdivision, we would want to finish out the ones that you've expressed concern about.
Okay. Sorry. He was directing that to you.
Why? Well, is that five homes or is that two homes or what is that?
You got lot number one, lot number. You wanted to do lot number one and lot number
eight.
Ten.
No, I got 185.
No, eight is not visible, Bob.
Okay, so it's not visible.
No, it's number one,
ten,
five,
and ten.
And yeah. And five.
I
said one, five, eight, and ten. The reason I wanted five was to be able to, because that's the tallest one, just to be able to see the ridge line up there. Seems to me that if you're in the computer, once you've done one of these houses,
that's no problem.
Even if you just take that same house, even though we know the architecture is going to change, you could literally plop it on all of them.
I mean, you could.
But why do you want? Why do you need all of them? If you only have questioning of a couple.
Well, we don't.
Yeah,
I don't. But okay. But I would tell you, I'm still in. I'll tell you. I want to see lot one. I want to see lot five, just because it's right the view from here and how much of that ridge, how much that ridge shows. There's also a view as you come down Stowe Canyon, which is why I said lot eight, but maybe it's lot seven instead, a portion of it. But if we're doing it in the computer, I'd like to see one of those because there's a view over that.
That's fine.
And I think that's going to go away,
so
or at least some of it.
Which one? I've got
do lot seven.
Seven.
Instead of eight.
Okay. Seven.
And then I wanted to see one of these three over here to be able to look at it from Dara. So I just picked the middle one.
That's fine. Yeah, I think we picked the one with the there's a house that's been recently upgraded, and we were going to give you a perspective of that. Right at the end. You know which one I'm talking about, Rousseau?
Oh, on Dara, there's one under construction or something.
No, the one that it was on fire.
Oh, the one on fire is right there.
The one that was looking at your light, remember?
Oh, okay. That's the one that was in fire, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what number is that? Which one is that?
I know that one. Just
but get it for the record. What number lot?
Okay. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to waste your time.
Well, while you do that, I just want to. Sure. The way you phrase the motion, I'm going to vote no. The reason being, because until I am comfortable with the mass bulk and scale on certain lots, particularly one, I know eight is marginally, mostly hidden, but you know the ones that are on the public street. I'm not willing to say we're good with that, so.
Okay. I have to rephrase this, but I want to get it, you know, get it somewhere that's acceptable and also give some measure of comfort to Mr. McCain.
Thank you, Tom. I do need this after 40 years, okay? You understand me better than anybody else in here.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyways. So I am going to rephrase my motion. I am making a motion for to continue the item with the stipulation that, with the comments that the applicant come back with landscaping plan, show also grading.
The at least preliminary.
Preliminary, yeah. Noting the color, you know, with the color boards, colors of materials, 3D simulation, for lots seven, no, lot one, lot seven, lot five,
and
lot 10. And the motion will carry the note, it will carry the comment that the board appreciates the direction in which the design is going on this lot.
Plural.
Lots on these lots on the entire project. Okay.
I'll second again.
Okay, thank you. Does that work for you, Carl? Mm-hmm. Good. Good.
How soon do you want to come back? Yes. November 11th? November 8th?
I don't think I can get somebody to do all the work that you asked me for quite a long time. I'm so sorry. Honestly.
That's okay. I wouldn't expect
just landscape architect getting. Some of the grading, as you
see, the civil, the whole drainage.
Tom, this is, I mean, Carl, this is not that easy.
Mr. Chair, we have options. It doesn't sound like November 8th is an option, but there's December 13th and then January, or we take it off the calendar and re-notice.
Taking it off the calendar, as soon as we found, I can call the staff and just tell them put it in. Is it okay with you?
Okay.
Then we'll have this taken off the calendar then. Thank you. All right, so we have a motion and a second. So, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time, everybody. Okay. Thank you, really.
So it sounds like you might get one house.
Brian, do you want to keep...
The next episode, huh?
Wait, hold on, hold on. Wait, we still have, our meeting is still going, so we can ask the applicant team to let the...
Oh.
Yeah. No, 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 no. We could ask you if you could exit. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
My heart.